potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. I'm having a special Indiana Jones retrospective show, and we're going to be talking about Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, and also Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken's going to show up there later on. But I'm also going to take a look back at the other Indiana Jones movies, all the way from Raiders to Crystal Skull. So I'll be taking a break from the news segment, from the trailer park, and the home cinema roundup. It's all going to be all Indiana Jones and one tiny little crack into the whole thing. But first, if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can find me on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com or facebook.com/fatguysatthemovies. And if you want to reach out to me on Twitter, I'm at twitter.com/kevincarr. We're actually moving straight from the introduction, skipping the news, and we're going to be going back and looking at the Indiana Jones movies, including a couple ones I talked about just a couple weeks ago, but I thought it'd be worth pulling those back up and check them out. The first one is Raiders of the Lost Ark. I thought it was a good time to go back and look at the Indiana Jones movies. I did this 15 years ago when Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull came out, and so I'm going to do this now. I loved the Indiana Jones movies. I was like 9 or 10 when the first one came out. And I loved Raiders, and I went on to see Temple of Doom and everything else in theaters. So I've been through the whole Indiana Jones experience as a viewer. Let's start off with the big one, the one that kicked it all off, and that is Raiders of the Lost Ark. A swashbuckling archaeologist tries to find the Lost Ark of the Covenant before the Nazis do.
For nearly 3,000 years, man has searched for the Lost Ark of the Covenant.
The Bible speaks of the Ark leveling mountains and laying waste to entire regions.
Not something to be taken lightly. No one knows its secrets.
Jones, do you realize what the Ark is? It's a transmitter. It's a radio for speaking to God.
An army which carries the Ark before it is invincible.
There's something special about Raiders of the Lost Ark. And before I even talk about the film, I just a note about the sequels. It's foolish to believe you're going to get sequels that are the same as the original. You never do. That's not how sequels work. Part of what makes Raiders of the Lost Ark work is the discovery of this character. And it's based on these serials. That's how both Lucas and Spielberg set these up as a nod to these serials that played before movies, you know, these like chapters. There are like 15 chapters of them, and that's what they were based on. And there's a discovery that goes on in there. And Lucas has talked about this in great depth with the Star Wars stuff, is you kind of hit these stories and you kind of have to catch up, and they're really not about in-depth character development. Even if you look at Raiders of the Lost Ark, as good as the characters are, they're not developed necessarily. They're these archetypes that are just expertly put in. The Scoundrel Adventurer, that's nothing new. That was Indiana Jones. And Marion as the jilted lover from long time ago, that's nothing new. The bad guys are nothing new. It's just really well put together. It takes a lot of elements of cliche and archetypes, and it just fits them together exceedingly well. It takes itself very seriously because at this time, it didn't know what it was going to become. They were just making an adventure. They didn't know they were making a kid's movie, for lack of a better term. If you watch Raiders of the Lost Ark, it does not scream kid's movie. Because it's got some very gory stuff. It's got some very extreme stuff. It's got a lot of violence to it. But boy, did it click with an audience of my age. I was 9 when it came out. So I know firsthand how important that was to my development as watching movies. I mean, that was right in the middle of the Star Wars stuff. It was made right between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. And so that's part of the reason why it seems to be appealing to an older audience and a more mature audience. And that's why a lot of people, I think, look back on it very fondly. But it's an efficiently well-told story. And it's just fun. Like I said, there's nothing really groundbreaking. If you look at the characters and the arcs, there's no fantastic, nuance to the characters. They're very well-done models and maquettes put into a rip-roaring adventure story. And boy, does it work. It's such a good movie. As a blockbuster, you can tell why it just breezes by. It's a brilliantly done film. I mean, it's still the gold standard of 80s action. It's the perfect blend of strong storytelling and nostalgia. And those things are not necessarily deep. They're just done extremely well. It's just a very, very well-made hamburger. But it's still a fast food hamburger. You know, that's giving my comparison to something like The Menu. But I'm still going to say I loved Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's totally awesome. I'm going to say it totally rocks.
It rocks.
Excellent.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk about Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. A little more troubling here. Before the events of Raiders, Indiana Jones is stranded in India and must retrieve a sacred stone from an ancient violent cult.
The old legend of the Shankara stones. The villager's sacred rock was taken.
Village stories, Dr. Jones.
Fortune and glory, kid. Fortune and glory.
No, do you?
Now, here's the one that everyone dumped on before Kingdom of the Crystal Skull came out. Because it was too childish. Can we brought in this kid? Short round. Why do we need a kid? Why do we always need to have a kid? And I'm one of those people who, when I see a movie and they just throw a kid in there, you're like, ugh. That's something. But, you know, the Ke-Huy Quan as Short Round was actually quite good. I mean, he was not the annoying kid. And you got to hand it to Spielberg. He can pick kids that are not annoying in a movie. That's what worked in Jurassic Park, for the most part. That's what worked in E.T. Spielberg's very good at that. And so the Short Round works in this movie. And yeah, you got Willie Scott, played by Kate Capshaw, and she's not well-developed at all. But of course, you can't have her too developed because she didn't show up anywhere in Raiders, so she's got to be kind of a fling. But I know one of the things people didn't like about it is it was too much action. It was just trying to be too much of this over the top crazy, but that's what the Indiana Jones movies are meant to be. They're serials. And there's something about putting the religious elements to it, like the old Judeo-Christian religious elements. And I'm getting ahead of myself. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to talk about The Last Crusade, where in Raiders and The Last Crusade, those are Judeo-Christian artifacts that have magical powers and they go after them. But there was more to serials than just Judeo-Christian artifacts, and even then, those were not the MacGuffins in every single thing. They had a lot of jungle adventures where people had these ancient cults, and they were cheesy and stupid, but putting somebody in the jungle and having them go after some sort of native artifact, that was all over the serials back in the 40s, and that's really what Temple of Doom's going for. It takes place in India. Its artifacts are wholly different than what they're going after in Raiders of the Lost Ark. No, you don't have Nazis. You just have him trying to help out some people. But I think that's one of the things that people are going, well, I wanted Nazis and I wanted the Lost Ark and I got this stupid stone in India. But that tracks with the swashbuckling jungle adventures that this is based on. Going back and rewatching Temple of Doom after many, many years, and I loved it when I was, because I was like 13 when that came out, 12 or 13. And I was the target market. I was right around the age of Short Round. And I thought it was a blast. And yes, it is very, very heavy on the action. This is also very much a pure action movie. Yes, it has gore. Yes, it has violence. Yes, it helped usher in the PG-13 rating. Because it was a PG movie where they ripped the heart out of this guy and set it on fire. Yeah, there's some underlying racism, especially in the dinner scene, where, of course, the Indians eat crazy eels and bugs and everything like that. But this is still an exciting thing to watch. I mean, it leans more into family adventure, but this is still tons of fun and an exciting throwback to the Jungle Adventure serials. It works. It clicks. It does exactly what Lucas and Spielberg were trying to do. It wasn't Raiders, and it wasn't Raiders for reasons that it couldn't be Raiders. It was never going to be Raiders, and that's okay. I'm still going to say Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom totally rocks.
It rocks.
Excellent!
And that's it for the first two Indiana Jones movies. When we come back, I'm going to be talking about Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade and the infamous Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's continue on with the retrospective on the Indiana Jones films. We're still in the Spielberg era. But let's talk now about the third movie, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, which comes back from a retrospective review I did a couple weeks ago. And I'm going to talk about Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade now. The legendary archaeologist joins forces with his professor father in order to retrieve the Holy Grail.
Indiana Jones is on the quest of a lifetime. But for some adventures, one Jones is not enough.
Dad? Junior?
Don't call me that, please.
Follow me! Out of the way!
Ah! You call this archaeology?
I remember the year this came out. This came out in 1989, and that was like a banner year. You had Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. You had Batman. You had Lethal Weapon 2, I think it was the second one that came out. So you had three really awesome movies that came out throughout like May, June, July. I mean, you had a really great tentpole summer that year. And this followed up the Temple of Doom. And I know a lot of people malign the Temple of Doom. Now, I, of course, defended it last week, and you can hear me talk about that. But I will admit, Temple of Doom was a bit of a diversion from Raiders of the Lost Ark, partly because it abandoned the whole World War II Nazi side of it. So that was something you didn't have in Temple of Doom. The other thing you didn't have in Temple of Doom is it went away from the finding a religious artifact from the Judeo-Christian religion, you know, the lost ark. And of course, that plays into the Nazi stuff too. But you completely went off to a different type of adventure, which was a jungle adventure where they're dealing with Indian mythology and in India. And what The Last Crusade does is it comes back to sort of that original well that they had, not the Well of the Souls, but the original well for the story. Because it mimics a lot of the elements of Raiders of the Lost Ark. It has Nazis in it. Of course, it takes place during World War II. So it has Nazis in it, and they're the bad guys, and Nazis make the easiest bad guys, as they should. The Nazis are the bad guys. Remember that, people. It also goes after a Judeo-Christian artifact, which is the Holy Grail. I mean, it's not Judaism, but it is the Judeo-Christian line. And I always find it interesting when people are complaining about the magic, so to speak, in the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And I'm like, they opened an ark that melted people's faces. What are you talking about? They had magical stones that allowed you to rip somebody's guy's heart out. You had a, what, 700-year-old knight in a cave in this movie. So there was magic all over this stuff and sort of this mystical thing, but it was sort of Christian magic that makes it work. And that's for him going after the Grail. The big change with this one is they brought in Sean Connery as Indiana Jones' father. Now, people nowadays don't remember this, but in the early 80s, Sean Connery had a rough time. After making the James Bond movies and leaving that franchise in the early 70s, he kind of slummed it a lot. He made a lot of movies, but some of them were really quite terrible, you know, like Zardoz and stuff like that. And it wasn't until he was in The Untouchables in 1987 that he got an Academy Award nomination for that he suddenly came back on the map, and he came back not as young, sexy Sean Connery, but as old, sexy Sean Connery. You had a 1-2 punch of The Untouchables and then this, and then suddenly Sean Connery was the biggest name on the planet again. And this really helped galvanize him as a star leading into the 90s and then into the 2000s. But they had great chemistry. And of course, Spielberg does such a great job directing the movie. This is a great adventure, and it's staged very beautifully. I mean, to the point that, I mean, it's got a lot of depth in it. And I talked about this when I saw the 3D version of Jurassic Park, which wasn't shot for 3D, but there's so much depth in a Spielberg movie, it worked in a 3D setting. There's just some beautiful shots in this movie, but it does mimic a lot of stuff from Raiders of the Lost Ark, and that's okay. I mean, it's a serial adventure, and that's fine. I mean, it was a strong return to form for Spielberg and the gang, offering a very strong third adventure. But, you know, at a certain time, you do have to branch out. There's other parts to the serial to imagine. That's one of the reasons why now, going back, I like Temple of Doom. But I love how people say, oh, we don't have goofy stuff like nuking the fridge or anything like that. And I go, they have the whole tapestry scene in The Last Crusade, which is a really, it's a funny scene, but it's out of place. So I mean, there's some real goofy stuff that goes on in this movie, but it's forgivable because it's an adventure and it's fine. And I liked it. So I'm going to say Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade totally rocks.
It rocks.
Excellent.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk about Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I was actually doing the show 15 years ago when that movie came out. But this is a look back 15 years later. 15 years. Isn't that terrifying that they're making another Indiana Jones movie with Harrison Ford 15 years later? They're like literally going to reanimate his corpse for the next film, I think. But anyways, more than a decade after his last adventure, swashbuckling archaeologist Indiana Jones is pulled into the field to investigate a lost city of gold.
Legend says that a crystal skull was stolen from a mythical lost city in the Amazon. Supposedly built out of solid gold, guarded by the living dead. Whoever returns the skull to the city temple will be given control over its power.
You will help us find it.
This was a highly anticipated film. My wife was pregnant with my third son at the time. And I was on my way to go to an out-of-town early screening of Iron Man, the original Iron Man. And I got a call from my wife, and I answered my phone. She's like, okay, I'm at the gynecologist, and we have to set up when we're going to do our C-section. And so I said, just to make sure it doesn't interfere with the screening for the new Indiana Jones movie. And my son's, you know, he's going to be turning 15 this year. So that's how long ago this movie came out. And I was a huge Indiana Jones fan as a kid. I loved the first three movies. I even liked Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. You can go back a couple weeks ago and listen to my response to it. Then this new movie came out, and this is the bear trap you can step into when you make a movie with essentially all the same people 20 years later, because the last Indiana Jones movie had come out in 1989, and this one came out in 2008. So it was almost 20 years after the last indie film. People get old. People get old. Time passes. And so Harrison Ford was not the guy in his, 40s at the time he did Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade? And there's nothing wrong with that. And one of the things people just dumped on this film because they're like, oh, it's stupid aliens, because it had sort of this alien subplot to it. And they're like, oh, it used too much CGI. The only complaint that was universally had about this movie that I agree with is Mutt being played by Shia LaBeouf. I do not think he worked in the movie. At the time, Shia LaBeouf was the it guy. He was in the Transformers films. He was doing a bunch of stuff at the time. And I thought he was awful. I don't think he was good for the movie. But all the changes they made, Spielberg realized, he's like, well, I'm not going to jump 20 years in the future. I'll go about 10. Because obviously Indiana Jones is older. And it fits with what 50s movies were. You know, back in the 30s and early 40s, which is where the original Indiana Jones movies took place, those were all about jungle adventures and hidden temples and using, you know, sort of like going to find religious artifacts. I got to put a pause on this right now because I got to go make some money. And when I come back on the other side of the break, I am going to continue with my thoughts on Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We're in the middle of the review of The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull from the Indiana Jones franchise. This is a more contemporary review. I got another treat for you later, but let's go ahead and finish this up with my thoughts on Indiana Jones and The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. By the time you got to the 50s, the serials and the pulpy movies and the Saturday matinees were about aliens. And they were existing in the 50s, and so you have to realize this was post-World War II. You couldn't make the Nazis the bad guys. The Russians were the bad guys, because they were the bad guys in the 50s. They should still be the bad guys now. And they are. But with Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, it tips its hat at all of this 50s stuff going on. The Better Dead Than Red protests that were going on in the 50s at the time. The styles, the clothes the kids were wearing, the greasers and the diners and all this stuff, the rock and roll music. This was stuff that permeates the film. And a lot of people were set off by that because they wanted the original Indiana Jones, which was 30s and 40s. But Indiana Jones is older. You couldn't make him young again. I think this is going to play into this Dial of Destiny movie because, again, you can't just make a movie where Indiana Jones is 35 years old anymore. And so I thought that that was fair. I thought that that made it work. And yes, did they use CGI? Yes. Why? Because in 2008, CGI was standard procedure. Back in 1989, CGI was just starting out and they didn't really use it for, they may have used part of it. But I mean, all the people said, oh, nuke the fridge. It's so stupid and unplausible. Have you seen some of the stuff that happened in the other Indiana Jones? They parachute out of an airplane in a life raft in the second film. And don't tell me that the special effects were 100% perfect because there were some really goofy opticals. The bridge sequence in Temple of Doom has some really goofy opticals. And if you sit there and talk about, you know, the characters, but yeah, because they grew and they were different. I still found it to be a fun movie. Like I said, I wasn't a big fan of Shia LaBeouf. I think that was a mistake. And I didn't want to see him take over the franchise and nobody else did, so that's why I didn't. But I still like this movie. It's still fun to watch. It's not the same, but it wasn't made in the 80s. It was made 20 years later. You can't, it's not going to be the same. People got to realize you can have a throwback and not be exactly the same. You take something, what's going on Star Trek right now, with Star Trek Picard, that's absolutely a throwback to the Next Generation. But it's been updated with the characters, and they allowed them to get older. So, look, this was much maligned by fans, but it's a decent update of Indiana Jones from the 1950s. I gotta say, I still think it rocks.
It rocks.
Excellent!
Now I've got a little bit of a treat for you. I dug into the Fat Guy's archives, and I found the original review that me and the original co-host of this show, Neil Miller, did for Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull when it came out back in 2008. Now, gotta remember, this is 15 years ago, so I sound a little different. But overall, you get to hear our initial thoughts on it from contemporaneous time of it coming out before everybody piled on it and hated on it for as much as they did. So let's listen to the 2008 review of this movie. Before I start talking about how much I absolutely loved this movie, and I did.
Are you going to review it in a Russian accent?
No, I won't, because Indiana Jones isn't Russian. But Harrison Ford really sounds old.
He's getting old.
He pulled it off, though, I thought.
I totally thought he pulled it off.
Yeah. I was 9 when the first one came out. Uh-huh. And like when I was 12, I saw the Temple of Doom in the theaters, and I was perfect age for that.
Right.
And they're ripping hearts out of guys and throwing them into lava, and I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Right.
So, I mean, I have it in my blood. And in that respect, I absolutely love the movie. It was worth the 19-year wait. If you go to this thing and you're like putting Indiana Jones as this icon that can't be tarnished at all and it's more perfect than the films really were, yeah, you're going to find problems with it. You're going to be annoyed at certain scenes. But if you just go as just a fan who wants a good, solid, classic action movie in the spirit of the original movies, this one is one of the best ones of the year, in my opinion.
Yes. And as always, I'm on the complete opposite side of it, despite the fact that I feel our end grades are not going to be too far apart. But I was -2 when the first one came out. So I'm not a child of the 80s. I'm a baby of the 80s. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that I've always loved about Indiana Jones is it has. It's always been that very big movie franchise in the sky, and I didn't really discover what was so great about it until later in life. Or more recently, I guess.
Later in life.
I'm not later in life.
But I was in my 60s. In my autumn years, I was learning about Indiana Jones.
But I can see that a lot of people have some problems with it, because a lot of people had problems with George Lucas with Episode 1 and...
Let me just throw out
around.
There
are some George Lucas moments in this movie that people are not going to like.
There's no Jar Jar Binks, though.
There's no Jar Jar Binks, no.
Yeah. I compare it to Episode 1 simply because Episode 1 was the first time in like 15 years you had a chance to see a new Star Wars movie.
Right.
And there were a lot of flaws in it, but it was still awesome. But I will say, as in terms of coming back, this Indiana Jones movie is way better than Episode 1 was as a comeback.
Right. And I think that honestly, when I look at it, it does. It comes with a few problems, and you can tell that there was probably some kind of, not a battle or a fight, but there were parts where George Lucas kind of came in and said, well, why don't we do this? And Steven Spielberg probably just got fed up and said, all right, fine. You know, there are two scenes in particular. There's one that involves a refrigerator.
Which was hilarious.
It was very funny, but for those who take it a little too seriously, you're going to be like, there's no way.
Well, let's put it this way. You or I wouldn't survive this, let alone Indiana Jones.
Right.
But I think the reason they did that, I took that as saying, look, we're going to put him in this situation, and he's going to survive with like just a scrape on his face to show, hey, we're not making a serious action film
here. Exactly. And I think that's what people forget is that these movies, they are silly. I mean, even go back to Raiders and Temple of Doom and Last Crusade, there's just silly stuff that happens.
Raiders was the least silly of the
three. It was the most, I'd say, gritty of the three, and that's why it's kind of a fan favorite. But I would compare Kingdom of the Crystal Skull most to Last Crusade in the sense that it's a lighter film. It's almost done for fun. Like, you can tell that Spielberg and Lucas and Harrison Ford and all these people that came back to make this movie the fourth time around just did it because they could and they wanted to make another one. And also, it's very nostalgic. It does at times pay homage to Raiders, and it really kind of flashes you back into the other films. And I think for somebody who's a fan of the series, this is kind of the only way that you could do it successfully. I don't know what people are really looking for out of this movie. It's not going to take the series up a notch. It is Indiana Jones, you know?
Well, and the only way to have really taken it up a notch is to make it like a Michael Bay film with the moving cameras all over the place and massive digital effects, which I think would have ruined it. They actually went back to sort of that older school look and feel, even though there's plenty of digital effects.
Right.
You know, you don't have dinosaurs coming out after him or something like that.
Exactly.
But also, I don't know what everyone was expecting in terms of the people that are like really getting down on it. I mean, there are some people that are just like, oh, that was terrible. And I'm like, because you know what? From the beginning of the movie, the first shot of the movie, they tip their hand and say, we're going to pay homage to the original film.
Right.
But we're going to do it tongue in cheek.
Probably the best thing I can say is that it's very rare nowadays to get a movie that is just so light and easy and immensely entertaining that it's almost like we forgot how to enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know? So then when a movie like this does come along that really hasn't, we haven't had one of these in so long that, you know, some people are just fighting to let themselves enjoy it.
Well, and I think some people hold it up so high in their minds.
Yeah, it's just
that it can't live up to it. Because I went back and I watched the first three movies. And yes, Raiders is a different movie because it's done much more serious and it's not trying to live up to itself or anything like that. But Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and Last Crusade, those had tons of silliness in there and tons of stuff that you could sort of, you know, laugh at and goof on.
Yeah.
You know, even sort of like the pacing of the action in the original Indiana Jones movies. I was watching it. I showed my kids and I was like watching. I'm like going, you know, yeah, this is good and I love it, but it's different than how they direct action films now.
Right. I honestly think that if you go into it not expecting the best of the four, you're going to come out of it entertained. You know, talking to people that really didn't like it, I just cannot see why they took it that seriously and wanted to look into it that deeply. This Steven Spielberg's just kind of doing this for fun at this point. He can do that. He's Steven Spielberg.
Absolutely. But I say totally rocks.
I say totally rocks as well.
It rocks.
Excellent!
And that's it for the Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull retrospective. I apologize for all you haters out there. But now when we come back, I'm going to be talking about the new one, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. And I'll also throw in Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr, and we have reached the moment of truth, finally, getting to, and I know everybody who listens to the show, they're all like, just get to the point, will you? How's the new Indiana Jones movie? Quit talking about the old ones. Well, I'm done talking about the old ones. I am now ready to talk about the new film, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. An older Indiana Jones is pulled back into a swashbuckling adventure when a woman from his past sends him on a quest to find an artifact that could change the course of history.
I don't believe in magic, but a few times in my life, I've seen things I can't explain. come to believe it's not so much what you believe. It's how hard you believe it.
As you know from the whole beginning of the show, I'm a huge fan of Indiana Jones. I grew up with it. That's the thing. I was like 9 when the first one came out. So almost as much as Star Wars, it had that much of an impact on my movie going history. And I loved it. I fell in love with it. Like a lot of people in my generation, or even slightly after it, the people who discovered it on video. Now, what's funny, I was in my family the first person to buy a VCR. I used my own money back in the 80s, and the very first tape I ever bought for myself, or maybe I got it as a birthday gift or something like that, was Raiders of the Lost Ark. I watched that thing until, I think it still played. I don't know where the tape is. I probably got rid of it because I've got them on DVD and Blu-ray. But if there's any sort of theme along with these sequels, including this one, is you can't expect it to be just like Raiders. You certainly can't expect watching this movie now for me as a 51-year-old man to watch this and have the same feelings and emotion and excitement I had when I was 9 watching Raiders of the Lost Ark for the first time. That's madness. And I think that plagues a lot of these nostalgia releases. Whether you're talking about Star Wars prequels or Star Wars sequels, or even if you're talking about Transformers, Rise of the Beasts, you can't judge something with your worldview and your life experiences in your 50s or your 30s exactly the way you judged watching something when you were a kid. So I've kind of gotten past that, and that's why I've been so defensive of Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Yeah, okay, it's not the best one, but I still liked it for what it is. The biggest problem I had was Shia LaBeouf. Now, one of the best things about this movie, the new one, is there's 100% less Shia LaBeouf in it. They learned anything. They said, get that guy away from the franchise. But one of the things with this movie is you have to understand this is not going to be Raiders of the Lost Ark at all. I mean, that was the very first one. It's also not going to be Temple of Doom because Harrison Ford was a lot younger then. He plays an Indiana Jones who's near the end of his life. I mean, he's a guy who's, well, I don't know how old he's supposed to be contemporarily, but the guy's 80 now. So he's playing easily in his 70s because he was already old in Crystal Skull. And they play to that. You do not have an invincible Indiana Jones. You got a guy who's got scars and aches and arthritis. And the other thing is they have to update the time. And this was one of the things that a lot of people got upset about with Crystal Skull is they made it all very centric to the 50s. And that doesn't feel as Indiana Jones because that was really a 1930s, 1940s jungle adventure. This does the same thing. It updates it to 1969. I mean, it is exactly 1969 because in the background, they're talking about the moon landing. So they're getting ready to head into the 70s. So Indiana Jones is kind of, he's a fossil in himself. He's an archaeological dig on his own. And he's dragged back into this. Now, this is also the first movie that is not directed by Steven Spielberg. It's directed by James Mangold. And he's done a lot of big stuff. He's done some more low-key stuff like Girl Interrupted and Kate and Leopold. But he's also done some bigger things like Night and Day and The Wolverine and Logan. And he wrote Oliver and Company. Did you know that? James Mangold wrote the Disney movie Oliver and Company, which I find that maddening. I don't know how to fit that in. But James Mangold has taken franchises that are stumbling or having issues and done some neat stuff with them. But he's also done stuff like Night and Day wasn't a great movie. I mean, for as much as everyone loves Tom Cruise now, go back and watch it. It's okay. But I think he does a good job paying homage to Steven Spielberg's directing. Is this thing fresh and original? No, it's not. It's Indiana Jones. The franchise is 40 years old. But it's still fun. And I will say that. It's still fun. It brings back the Nazis, and they're the best bad guys, because the Nazis are bad guys. They are bad guys, people. And you've got Mads Mikkelsen playing this former Nazi scientist who's doing something. He's trying to find this dial of destiny, and you really don't know. Ultimately, it's really that MacGuffin that kind of just sends him on the adventure. And you got Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who's his goddaughter. It's not a romance, which is good. She's a little bit sketchy herself. She's kind of sus. You know, they have a relationship, but they've been estranged. And some of the complaints I've heard about this is they're like, well, it's not, it's uninspiring action sequences. They're fun action sequences. First of all, it's not Spielberg. So Spielberg's not recreating the truck chase from Raiders of the Lost Ark. But you have a foot chase, you have car chases, you've got a horse chase at one point. It has these elements, but it puts it in a out-of-time context for his character. And it does run a bit long. It's like 2 hours and 20 minutes, which is the longest Indiana Jones movie. And it does tend to drag a little bit when you finally get to the third act. And does it have some kind of goofy, almost spiritual stuff in it? Yes, but you do realize in The Last Crusade, he met a knight from the Crusades. You know, so... But having fantastical things happen to Indiana Jones is not a deal breaker for me. They do this whole opening sequence, because they always do, and they have a de-aged Indiana Jones, and I think that's kind of cool. I'm glad they didn't just go back to that, because Harrison Ford is in his, he was in his 70s when he made this. He's 80 now. But I think this is kind of a nice wrap-up. I mean, you felt that Crystal Skull was going to wrap it up, because they kind of put a cap on it, literally. But this one... You're pretty sure it's over. I don't picture a 95-year-old Harrison Ford making another movie. I think it works. Like I said, if you're expecting to be wowed like a child again, you're not going to get it. If you're expecting the best Indiana Jones movie, you're also not going to get it. I enjoyed it. I don't know if I loved it, but then again, I'm 51 years old, and I was not. It's not like when I was watching. When I watched Temple of Doom, and I was 12. It was the greatest movie ever. But I thought it did exactly what it needed to do. It has some humor. It has some action. It has Indiana Jones showing his age, but also still stepping up to the occasion. So he's not invincible, but they have some nice callbacks to the original story. And they've got some new characters. I think Mads Mikkelsen plays a fantastic villain. You got Toby Jones in the movie. It's not perfect, and if you want to hate on it, and if it's going to be like, oh, it's stupid, I mean, yeah, if you want to come with your backup, you're going to dislike it. But I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's different from the other films, but that's to be expected for its age, and it offers a fun dose of adventure and a bunch of Nazi punching. It's always good to punch some Nazis. So I'm going to have to say, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny rocks.
It rocks.
Excellent!
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. I'm going to finish this up here with Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken. I was nice enough to not do this one first so that I got to the Indiana Jones stuff. This is just the tag at the end. And I didn't even see this movie, but let's just mention it because it's out. A teenage girl discovers she is a descendant from warrior Krakens and must defend the ocean from a vain mermaid.
I'm just Ruby Gilman, normal teenager.
For generations, Krakens have protected the seas, keeping us safe from the most power-hungry and dangerous creature of all.
The mermaid?
Yes!
But people love mermaids.
I love you so much!
Love you too, Rando!
Of course they do!
Are you okay? I know your secret. You're a Kraken hiding as a human.
I really gotta go.
Oh no!
And soon, everyone will know the truth.
You know, this looks okay. It looks like it's going to fly completely under the radar. And it's been a weird year for animation. Now, I haven't seen this. They haven't shown it to me. So I don't know if it's any good. But animation in the last year, especially this year, has been hit or miss. You have these massive hits like Super Mario Brothers movie or like Across the Spider-Verse. And then you have movies that crater completely, like Elemental. And when did you ever think that a Super Mario Brothers movie was going to beat a Pixar movie at the box office so handily? So it's weird in animation, and I think part of it is because it's no longer a wonder. Animation is no longer amazing to a lot of people because it's almost normal. It's sort of like there's that line in Jurassic World where they said it's not enough to just have dinosaurs. You got to do something new. And that was very prescient on Hollywood, because it's no longer that you can design these things and make them look photorealistic and have incredible things happen in them. Anybody can do that. You have to put a decent story behind it. I don't know if there's a decent story. It looks cute, but it looks very limited to the teen girl market. So I'm going from the trailers exclusively here, but this looks like it might be fine, but I do not see this rising above and becoming a rockin' surprise to anybody. So I can't give you a review of it, but they didn't show it to me, so it gets a preemptive suck.
It sucks.
And that's it for the Indiana Jones retrospective. I gotta go. When I come back next week, I'm gonna be having a July 4th celebration. Until then, have a fat time at the movies or at home.